Welcome to day 22 of lockdown in the UK, where we've just had our 4-day Easter break with lots and lots of Lindt chocolate and not a whiff of the inside of a church anywhere. But apparently we have all behaved ourselves pretty well when it came to keeping to the restrictive lockdown rules. We didn't visit anyone, nobody went to their second homes, except for Boris, who is recovering in Chequers in the countryside. My name is Emma Marney.
And my name is Clarissa Vorfeld, and welcome to day 30 of lockdown in Switzerland, where we are now taxiing on the runway to the lockdown restrictions being eased somewhat in a country that has always followed the rules. We're being hailed as a country that's done it by quick decision-making, respect for science, and overall compliance.
Well, and you definitely do have a different way of managing things, and you don't have Jacob Rees-Mogg in charge of Parliament desperately trying to get onto a Zoom and run via an unmuted mic the whole of Parliament.
Oh, goodness. No, we don't. It's much more professional here. We have something called the Federal Council. So think of that as the cabinet. Where they operate like a board of directors of a very sort of efficient company, and they love quick decisions and quick directives. It's sort of 7 councillors representing various political parties, and they oversee the key ministries, and one of them holds the post of president for 1 year only, and together they make all the decisions. And obviously the president is a woman, half the Federal Council are women, so it's very right on. But we sadly didn't seem to have as much Lindt chocolate as you.
Well, that can't be right. I mean, our shelves were like groaning with bunnies with the bells on, and the big red eggs and the heart-shaped chocolates and the Red Bulls. What went wrong?
Oh, well, Lindt delivered its Easter products to retailers abroad before the coronavirus outbreak was declared a pandemic. But here inside Switzerland, its own shops are now shuttered, and travel bans mean that chocolate remains on the shelves at the duty-free stores. And instead, our runaway favourite in Switzerland was a chocolate maker in the Swiss capital of Bern, who was selling his Easter bunnies for 8.50 francs, that's £7, Easter bunnies wearing white protective face masks made of sugar. They were flying off the shelves. So it shows they do have a sense of humour in a sort of rather macabre sense over here. Did you get your Easter fun in otherwise, Emma?
Yes, we did the Easter egg painting, an egg hunt, table tennis tournament, the barbecue. But we're having a themed evening tonight on Zoom with another family, which is going to have a Mexican themed food. So after this, I have to spend time making some moustaches.
Oh, great. That sounds great. Well, we've been having the most incongruously fantastic weather. I say incongruous because when there's so much distress going on in the world over, it seems rather weird to be having this fabulous, sunny, hot weather. So we were able to sit outside, eat outside. Remember in Switzerland, you can have groupings of 5 people. So we had one of our neighbours came over for a distance drink. And obviously we had some roast lamb and mint sauce, which they find very odd in Switzerland. But overall, it was nice to be outside, which we were able to do because you are allowed to go out walking whenever you like. So it was an enjoyable weekend if one was able to keep mum's mind off all the tragedy going on all around. But what caught your eye in the papers over the weekend, Emma?
Well, continuing that theme of being outside, there's been a sharp drop in the number of cars on the road because of lockdown. Traffic is down by as much as 3/4 compared with normal traffic levels. Oh. And as well as the kind of benefit to the environment, and we're going to be talking to Matt Mellon of Eco Hustler a bit later on about that, there's a number of councils that are now shutting the streets so that people can exercise. And they're using plants and bollards so that people can properly sort of get round on their bicycles and jogging. And this is going on in Brighton, Hackney and Manchester. And they're kind of following cities like Berlin, Bogota and Mexico City that have done this already.
Okay, that's good. That shows a bit of initiative. It's about time too, because we have here only a population very small of only 8 million. It just changes everything when it's that small. So it's not such an issue. It's also not a very densely populated country, so there is quite a lot of space. But I have been seeing all the complaints about joggers and cyclists running and riding too close in the parks in London, the ones that are still open. For us, we have more of an issue about the fact that people can't see their kids if they are on the other side of the border. Remember, we're surrounded by countries on all sides. And in many cases, I live in Geneva. France is just less than a mile away, the French border. It's closed. And if you have a couple where one parent is French, one parent is Swiss, you're in trouble.
Well, that's weird because here travel, which is very restricted, includes essential travel for separated or divorced parents, so they can ferry their children back and forth halfway
Okay.
through the week.
Yeah, well, that seems incredibly sensible. Our borders with all our neighboring countries are firmly shut, so you need hefty paperwork to get through the border, for example, the one near our house. And now the issue for divorced parents is really heating up because this pandemic has made it very difficult for separated parents to share the parenting. So you cannot enter Switzerland without a passport or a residency permit unless you are employed by one of the main hospitals. And there is no exception currently for parents. But now a paramedic based in Switzerland, in Aargau, Mike Riedel, is launching a petition to allow separated parents to visit their children if they are outside the country, because he went over to see his wife and his 11-year-old daughter and was fined nearly £90 on re-entering Switzerland as the border guards didn't consider visiting his daughter as a good enough reason to leave the country. Imagine that.
Well, I think I'm going to sign his petition for him because I'm definitely with him with that. And I think the Swiss are a bit too efficient sometimes,
Yes.
especially as he's a key worker.
Correct.
But where they do seem to have won out is where how they've stocked up and got their PPH reserves in order, because there's been a total omni shambles in the UK over this protective equipment. And there's stuff in the Times today saying staff on intensive care are reporting that they're having to order gardening goggles on Amazon because they're reusing their visors and using bin bags to cover themselves.
Oh, it's absolutely scandalous. Yeah. An example of the sort of Swiss efficiency that people are talking about is that 2 weeks ago, the city of Zurich, everyone knows Zurich, but the city of Zurich decided, in order to solve this problem of supply, to buy its own production line of surgical mask supplies rather than getting into sort of cross-border disputes with other countries about sourcing. It will be cranking out 32,000 masks a day from next week. So,
Wow.
okay, yeah, amazing. The production line costs about £500,000 to get up and running, but there was absolutely no discussion about procurement issues or why a city should be moving into manufacturing. The need was there, the city bureaucracy had a solution, and it's probably going to turn a profit on the assembly line if they decide to sell it.
Well, I hope they sell it over here, because just to bring the corona debate back into the home for a moment. Did you hear that you have to do the laundry at 60 degrees in order to destroy the virus? There was a great quote from Brendan Wren, the professor at London School of Hygiene, who said, trying to explain this idea of the virus sort of living on inanimate objects, the virus is not a living organism, but a tiny opportunistic particle. It doesn't grow in the environment, it merely tries to survive long enough until it reaches a human mucosal surface, which is eyes, mouth, or throat, where it's then activated. So now, before Easter, I reported wildflowers and insects are having a bumper year because the councils have stopped trimming verges because nobody's cutting them. And people are breathing better because there's fewer cars. And we talked a little bit about travel today. And we're delighted to welcome Matt Mellon, who's going to talk to us a little bit more about the environment as the founder and manager of EcoHustler.com. Welcome, Matt. Where are you joining us from?
Thank you very much for having me. I am calling in from Frome in sunny Somerset in the UK.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show. And what we wanted to talk about is a little bit about your article that I read quite recently. And it was looking at loads of things, but in particular, sort of thinking beyond now when things start to be lifted. What changes do you feel might happen as we go forward?
Yeah, well, it's such an interesting time. And of course, on the one hand, we're all very sad about the tragedy and the human cost of life and all the people suffering. And we all have to rally around to get through coronavirus. But there are some interesting things that have changed the way I think people are seeing the world. And we've all on this lockdown, this pause where the economy is pausing and people have downed tools and are spending more time at home with their friends and families. And it's quite an amazing time to just take stock of our lives, what's important to us. And a lot of commentators out there are looking at the economy and asking questions about should it go back to exactly how it was before the pandemic. And I've been an environmental campaigner for 20 years. And for a lot of that time, climate change has been a major focus. And environmentalists have been asking world leaders, can they change the direction of the economy for it to be lower carbon? Can they slow down economic growth so that we're not eating into natural capital so fast? And for decades, governments have said that isn't possible. The only way that human well-being improves and that humans are satisfied is if the economy keeps growing. And of course, what we've seen now with coronavirus is that that isn't true. If governments coordinate their responses, they've proved that they're totally capable of slowing down or stopping parts of the economy, pausing industrial output and all the rest of it. So I think for us, what we're now saying to governments is, okay, you've done it for corona. Can you not also look at tweaking the economy, changing the direction, where necessary, pausing the economy for climate change? So we would be looking at particularly the most polluting parts of the economy and saying, do they have to fire back up to the pre-corona levels? Or could we perhaps use this pause as a chance to change direction?
Well, I mean, can I ask you, can you just tell us what are the most polluting parts of the economy?
Well, there's very heavy industries, things. I mean, I think what you want to look at is what has a big level of pollution without having a large amount of improving human health and happiness. So, for example, there's parts of the economy which you could turn off without affecting people's well-being at all. So you might not know this, but the UK and New Zealand both sell apples to each other. And that's pretty crazy. Like, we grow fantastic apples in the UK. Why are we selling New Zealand apples in the UK? There's a huge carbon emission associated with getting an apple from New Zealand to the UK. So with coronavirus, a lot of us are looking at sourcing our food more locally. Also, something like, for example, coal mining, that has a enormous environmental impact. You have to burn a lot of energy to do it, then you get the coal out, then you burn the coal to make electricity. And of course, we all know that for decades, we could be switching to renewable energy. I mean, for the user at home, it doesn't make any difference if the electricity that comes to their house is from burning coal or from a renewable source like a wind turbine or a solar panel. So I think we have to ask ourselves, well, if that's the case, why do we keep burning coal? The answer is that people that who are very invested in fossil fuels are very powerful and keep the economy on this track. But I think in this coronavirus pause, we have a chance to sort of question. It's clear that humans have much more control of the economy than we've been led to believe. And we could shape it and change its direction in ways to improve human health and happiness.
I mean, I think one of the things that really surprised me the most, which are in one of your articles on the ecohustler.com, and I don't know if you know about this, Clarissa, is about cruise liners, which I'd never, ever considered before. Do you want to just tell Clarissa the statistic that you have in there?
Yes, well, so there's two big statistics in the post on ecohustler.com. One is that each day a cruise ship can release as much pollution as 1 million cars. And you know, the reason for this is that cars have catalytic converters and filters and have been regulated a lot recently. So the pollution from cars are relatively clean and the fuel they burn is quite clean. Big ships on the sea, they burn the dirtiest fuel, bunker fuel, which is much dirtier than the fuel used in cars. And they haven't been regulated. So the engines on ships don't have catalytic converters or anything like that. The biggest cruise company in the world is Carnival Corporation. And just their European fleet of ships release more pollution than all of Europe's cars. You know, they're huge statistics, and it's very concerning. This all happens at sea, where people don't see it. But when the ships are moving around the coast of Europe, there's a big cloud of air pollution. And interestingly, cruise companies is one of the sectors, along with airlines, that's been worst hit, with sales plummeting and a lot of the ships being parked. This is the same with planes. And I think, you know, environmentalists like myself are asking, do we need to fire all those dirty engines back up? Is this not a chance to perhaps switch to cleaner air? By turning off the dirtiest parts of the economy. And I mean, the worst thing of all is for us would be when the government is, when the corona lockdown is over and the government's spending a lot of money to re-stimulate the economy, are they going to hand the money to the dirty sector of the economies, or can they stimulate the cleaner, greener bits of the economy?
So what would you recommend we or our listeners do to make sure that happens going forward?
Well, I think all of us should go back to normal life and go back to work, reflecting on what's changed. So, for example, a lot of people have been experimenting for the first time with working from home. And if that has worked for us, then we can go back and talk to our employers and say, do I actually need to physically be in the office 5 days a week? If everyone in the UK or wherever they are work from home 1 day a week, that would be a huge reduction in the amount of commuting. And everyone commuting to work at the same time leads to traffic jams, and then all these cars are in a queue releasing pollution. I think a lot of us have discovered we don't actually need to do that commute every single day. So just something as simple as negotiating with our employers to do 1 day working from home a week could make a really big change.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to take that straight away to my husband. And I think you should do the same. So thank you so much, Matt. That was really interesting to talk to you, and fascinating, some areas that you've mentioned.
Yeah,
and I think we're all enjoying cleaner air while this is pause is going on. And I just
thank you so much for having me. Great to chat.
So okay. Remember, stay safe, stay home, and stay humorous.